Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times newspaper for the week of Sunday, May 1st, 2022. We'll fill the hour with local news articles as well as local sports and occasional features and state articles. Former San Angelo Bank employee sentenced in customer fraud will not serve prison time. By Elena Edgen, published May 5th. A former San Angelo Bank employee has been sentenced in a 2021 fraud case involving customers' information. On Tuesday, May 2nd, Carmen Garcia Ruiz attended a plea hearing. She was initially charged with four counts of fraudulent use and possession of identifying items. These are state jail felonies, punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Ruiz pleaded guilty to all charges, and in exchange, state prosecutors suggested 5 years deferred adjudication. She would also pay $25,629.57 in restitution. Judge Tommy LaFon accepted the recommendation and sentenced Ruiz along those terms. How a bank investigation led to employees' arrest. On July 27, 2021, the First Convenient Bank, First National Bank's vice president, and a bank-wide investigator met with San Angelo police. They reported Ruiz, a former employee at the bank in Walmart, 5501 Sherwood Way, was under investigation. Ruiz was being investigated for using customers' personal bank accounts to open and activate credit cards to make purchases totaling $25,629.57. She also moved $2,433.73 of deposits into her personal account without putting money into the register. The transactions occurred while Ruiz was at work and at the store gas station between February 23, 2021 and July 17, 2021. When confronted by the bank investigator, Ruiz gave a written statement confessing to the theft and was fired, according to the affidavit. On August 4th, she told police she used four customers' account information to create and activate debit credit cards to pay for her car and other bills that were due. Ruiz was arrested August 25th on suspicion of theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000 and released hours later on a $15,000 bond. She was indicted on the four fraud charges in October. Concho Valley Farmers Market announces 2022 opening day by Rosanna Frere, published May 5th. The Concho Valley Farmers Market has announced its opening day for 2022. The market is planning to open Saturday, May 14th, and will remain open until fall. The Farmers Market is located at 609 South Oak Street and is open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 7 a.m. until they sell out. There will be early season veggies like greens, radishes, plants, baked goods, fresh beef and pork, homemade jelly, pecans, and more, a Facebook post by the Farmers Market stated. Cost is typically $1 per bundle or bowl. It is recommended to bring cash, as some vendors may not accept debit or credit cards. For more information or to join the market, contact Margie Jackson, president of the Concho Valley Farmers Market, at 325-245-3338. San Angelo Gives earns over $4.1 million during 2022 fundraising drive by Rosanna Frere, published May 4th. The 24-hour fundraiser, San Angelo Gives, raised $4,118,919 from 11,216 donations Tuesday, May 3rd. The event topped last year's mark of $3.7 million. Since 2015, more than $17.6 million has been raised through San Angelo Gives. Here are some of the highlights. Education. 55 organizations raised $1,140,096, with Cornerstone Christian School gaining $301,646. Health. 25 organizations raised $536,194, with Pregnancy Help Center of Concho Valley topping the list at $156,418. Human Services. 58 organizations raised $1,063,000, with Meals for the Elderly earning $166,926. Youth Development. 23 organizations raised $457,193, with House of Faith gaining $176,100. Community Improvement. 22 organizations raised $97,552, with Habitat for Humanity Incorporated San Angelo gaining $22,105. Religious. 16 organizations raised $137,921, with Bishop Street Recovery Ranch taking the top spot at $32,675. Arts and Culture. 19 organizations raised $139,569, with Ballet San Angelo earning $25,102. Animals. 8 organizations raised $157,180, with Critter Shack topping the category at $65,715. Environment. 3 organizations raised $10,780, with Friends of San Angelo State Park getting $5,381. Which organizations had the most donors? Out of 11,216 donations, here are the 10 organizations who had the most people donate. Pregnancy Help Center of Concho Valley with 419 donors. House of Faith with 338 donors. Cornerstone Christian School with 296 donors. Meals for the Elderly with 267 donors. Concho Valley Turning Point with 244 donors. Concho Valley Pause with 211 donors. San Angelo Christian Academy with 196 donors. B Theater with 194 donors. Critter Shack with 175 donors. And Ballet San Angelo with 171 donors. These 10 organizations earn the most. Here are the top 10 biggest earners, which gathered a total of $1,556,680 with 2,070 donations. Cornerstone Christian School with $301,646. San Angelo Christian Academy with $197,045. House of Faith with $176,100. Meals for the Elderly with $166,926. Pregnancy Help Center of Concho Valley at $156,418. TLCA San Angelo at $125,225. Alcohol and Drug Abuse Council for the Concho Valley at $117,085. Rust Street Ministries with $115,855. Angelo Catholic School with $109,350. And San Angelo YMCA with $91,030. These 10 organizations earned the least. All of the 230 organizations in San Angelo Gives earned at least $150. Here are the ones that earned the least. Make-A-Wish North Texas, $150. Tom Green County Youth Livestock Association, $150. Fishing with Docks Custom Rods and Fish, $170. The Wall Parent Teacher Organization at $200. Concho Valley Adult Protective Services Partners Board at $220. Restoring Bront Foundation with $245. Calvary Chapel San Angelo at $325. NAMI San Angelo at $340. Car Smiles Fund at $345. And RL4 Restoration Foundation at $350. San Angelo man arrested after child, 13, reports sexual abuse. By Elena Edgen, published May 2nd. After a child reported a year of sexual abuse, a San Angelo man has been arrested, according to court documents released Monday. On April 25th, police learned a child, 13, made an outcry of sexual abuse. The child told investigators at one point the man had taken them from a location in Carlsbad and started sexually assaulting them, according to court documents. In this instance, the man also told the child to keep it a secret and became angry when they tried to make him stop, records state. In an interview with the Child Advocacy Center of Greater West Texas, the child stated the assault started in March 2021 and continued until April 2022. The child said there were at least 7 incidents of sexual abuse. John Emerson Custer, 45, was arrested Friday on suspicion of continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14 years old. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $500,000 bond as of 10:30 a.m. Monday, according to online jail records. 9 arrested in Tom Green County child solicitation investigation. By Elena Edgen, published April 29th. A 2-day investigation into online child solicitation in Tom Green County led to arrests of multiple men in San Angelo and the surrounding area, according to court documents records. One of those arrests included a registered child sex offender, and another arrest involved Goodfellow Air Force Base. Between Thursday, April 21st and Friday, April 22nd, the San Angelo Police Department, Department of Homeland Security, and the Texas Department of Public Safety conducted an investigation. Several agents and investigators created undercover profiles posing as children from 14 to 16 years old, records state. The following men were all arrested on charges of online solicitation of a minor, sexual conduct. Yasius Rodriguez, 35, of San Angelo. James Howard Baker, 38, of San Angelo. Rafael Alvarado, 25, of San Angelo. Buddy Gray, 36, of Llano. Jordan Floyd Locklear, of Austin. Gerald Martinez, of San Angelo. Christopher Martin Rose, 20, of San Angelo. Christopher Sean Wilson, 55, of San Angelo. Matthew Allen Beckett, 36, of San Angelo. In each of these cases, the solicitation charge is a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 20 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Moving and roaring dinosaurs are coming to San Angelo and Abilene. Here's what we know. By Elena Edgen, published April 29th. Just in time for summer, a lifelike animatronic dinosaur exhibit is coming to San Angelo and Abilene in May. Jurassic Empire has been touring the country with over 50 robotic dinosaurs that roar, move, and even appear to breathe. After tours across California, New Mexico, and other locations, West Texas will be able to catch the show. What is Jurassic Empire? Jurassic Empire initially started as an indoor show of robotic dinosaurs. When COVID-19 hit, indoor venues started to shut down, and the company decided to hit the road. Literally. One of the operation managers had the idea to do the show outside with people watching in their cars, said Joey Floor, an operations manager with the company. We've continued to stay outdoors, and it turns out people liked that. Accompanying the animatronics, attendees can view a slideshow of the displays with matching information and fun facts. The displays have sensors, so when a vehicle approaches, it activates the motions. Their movements are dramatic, Floor said. They move, roar, eyes will wink. Some will even move their bellies, like breath. That's one of those details the kids notice. The tours can last from 30 minutes to more than an hour, depending on the crowd. Drivers can go at their own pace, though there is a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit. This is a once-a-year experience people are going to love, Floor said. Personally, I love the show and seeing the excitement on kids' faces. When are the Jurassic Empire shows for Abilene and San Angelo? The first stop at the Mall of Abilene, 4310 Buffalo Gap Road, from May 13th through May 22nd. Tickets can be purchased at jurassicempire.ticketspice.com/mall-of-Abilene. The show will then head to the Sunset Mall, 4001 Sunset Drive in San Angelo, from May 27th to June 5th. Tickets can be purchased at jurassicempire.ticketspice.com/sunset-mall. For bonus dinosaur treats, people can purchase a surprise or mega surprise pack while buying tickets online. These packs are given during check-in for the tour and include 3 or 6 surprise gifts, according to the site. Showtimes for both cities will be in 2-hour slots. Weekend show options will be 10 a.m. to noon, noon to 2 p.m., 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Weekday shows will be offered from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Attendees must stay in their vehicle. For more information, visit JurassicEmpire.com or its Facebook. San Angelo's municipal pool delays opening, will not impact summer camps. By Elena Edgen. Published April 29th. While summer is making its way to San Angelo, the municipal pool won't be ready for the first days, according to a city news release. The pool at 18 East Avenue A does not have an opening date as of 10:30 a.m. Friday, April 29th. This is due to an issue with the filtration system, according to the release. The system must be replaced, but it will take several weeks before it can be installed because of supply shortages, the release stated. The system is being built now. Reservations cannot be made until the city announces an opening date. We apologize for the inconvenience and look forward to seeing everyone when the pool is able to open, the release stated. Supervisor Jerrica Davis added that the delay will not impact summer camp registration. In the meantime, Brown's Pool at 5301 Fruitland Farm Road will open on Saturday, April 30th. Until May 27th, the pool will be open on weekends only. After that, it will be open 7 days a week. And now here are local sports. San Angelo Pan American Golf Association Scholarship Tourney returns Saturday. By Charles Bryce. Published May 5th. The 39th annual San Angelo Pan American Golf Association Scholarship Tournament is scheduled for Saturday at Quicksand Golf Course. The 4-person scramble begins with the shotgun start at 1 p.m. and the entry fee is $100 per person. To register, call Edward Montelongo at 325-234-5501. Chris Acevedo at 325-245-3526. Or Mike McCarty at 325-374-2943. Todd Coles, Republican candidate for Tom Green County Judge, will be the guest speaker. Last year, $1,000 scholarships were awarded to 21 high school students in the San Angelo area. In 2016, 37 $1,000 scholarships were given out. As the San Angelo PAGA states on its website, scholarships are based on the applicant's academics, school participation, financial needs, community involvement, and employment. Past recipients have been from numerous high schools: San Angelo Central, Lakeview, Cornerstone Christian, Wall, San Angelo TLCA, Stephenville, Miles, Cristoval, Grape Creek, and Irion County. Seeing the smiles on the graduating seniors and their parents as they are presented their scholarship makes all the work we do well worth the time and effort that is put into hosting this yearly tournament, Acevedo said. The fact that this scholarship is open to any high school graduating senior in this area is great, as you do not have to be a golfer to receive the $1,000 scholarship we award to several seniors yearly. The response from the community has grown over the years, and without their support, we could not do this, and we thank all for helping us give some of the local students a stepping stone in the form of a scholarship to help further their education. Since 2009, the San Angelo PAGA has distributed more than $200,000 in scholarships. They are awarded to the student, and the $1,000 is sent to the educational facility that the student will be attending. The student must be enrolled in an educational facility, as the scholarship will be put into an account for the student to use on campus as needed. They also accept trade schools as an educational facility. Individuals or businesses can be whole sponsors for Saturday's tourney with donations of $125, $400, $550, or $1,000. There will be a raffle and auction after the tournament wraps up. Raffle tickets are $5 apiece or three for $10. The first prize is a set of PXG 0211 irons. The second place is a PXG driver. The third place is a PXG Hellcat putter. And the fourth place is also a PXG driver. San Angelo Central Girls Hoops standout Allen to play for Ranger College, by Charles Bryce, published May 3rd. San Angelo Central High School senior guard Deandra Allen was one of the defensive players of the year on the 2022 All-West Texas girls basketball team, and she's not finished yet. Allen signed an agreement with Ranger College last week at Babe Dirksen Gym. The Lady Rangers went 15-15 overall and 9-7 in the North Texas Junior College Athletic Conference this past season. "I'm very excited," Allen said. "I loved the coach, Gabby Laurent, and just like how they welcomed me with open arms. I really like his coaching style. He's kind of similar to Central coach Jordan Sarton, but more energetic. The pace of the offense they run, the want to get up the court and get points really quickly and just push the ball up the floor." The 5'9" Allen was a first team selection in District 2-6A as a senior. She drew 25 offensive player control fouls, nearly one per game, and averaged 10 points, 1.5 deflections, 1.6 steals, and 0.3 blocks. She helped Central finish 18-12 overall in Sarton's first season as head coach. The Lady Cats were the number 3 seed in the 2-6A, and they lost to El Paso Pebble Hills on a buzzer beater in the first round of the playoffs. The Lady Cats coach says Ranger is getting a solid player in Allen. "I think she'll do really a great job there," Sarton said. "One of my former point guards plays there and has done phenomenal and has grown exponentially, and I feel like Dee will do the same. I really wanted her to go there too, because there were a couple of coaches who wanted to recruit her, but Ranger, I felt like, really, really loved her and would take care of her. And so I know she's going to be in good hands. I'm excited for her. I think she's going to be a really good fit. It's smaller, like what she's used to with San Angelo being a small town, and it's not too far away. I think it'll be great for her." Allen got double teamed defensively a lot, but she said it was pushing me to play my game and pushing me to become better. Sartin spoke out about what makes Allen so special. "D is just a phenomenal leader," the Lady Cats coach said. "From day one, we met with her in the summer and talked about that she's our best player, so she needs to be the best leader, and she worked hard every single day. She's always the first in all of our drills. She doesn't like to lose. She likes to compete. She holds her teammates accountable. She's the whole package. She's got everything." Allen made big contributions on both ends of the floor for the Lady Cats. "She can score and she's phenomenal at taking charges and sacrificing her body for her teammates," the Central coach said. "She does it all. We are going to miss her." Number 7, Angelo State will meet Commerce in LSC Softball Championship Quarters. By Charles Bryce, published May 4th. The number 7-ranked Angelo State University softball team will face Texas A&M Commerce in the quarterfinals of the Lone Star Conference Championship Friday on the campus of regular season champion UT Tyler. The first pitch is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. The ASU Commerce winner will face either number 1 seed UT Tyler or the winner between number 9 Cameron and number 8 West Texas A&M in the semifinals at 6:30 p.m. Friday. The championship will be at 2 p.m. Saturday. ASU finished the regular season at 38-9 overall and 22-8 in conference. The Bells are the number 5 seed for the LSC tourney, and Commerce is number 4. The Bells and Lions are both nationally ranked, and they finished tied with Oklahoma Christian for 4th place in the LSC regular season standings. ASU was number 5 in the most recent regional rankings, and the Lions were number 6. ASU and Commerce split their 2 games during the regular season on March 27th at Mayer Stadium. The Bells run-ruled the Lions 13-2 in 5 innings in the first meeting, and Commerce took the doubleheader finale 2-1. Under head coach Travis Scott, the Bells have won 7 LSC tourney championships, the most in the league. They last won it in 2018, and the Bells advanced to the turn title game last year. In their most recent showdown in the LSC Championship in 2019, Commerce shut out ASU 2-0 on its way to making its only appearance in the tourney finals. To fill for time, here are a few local sports articles. Wall rallies past Jim Ned for District 6-3A Baseball Championship. By Charles Bryce, published May 3rd. Sparked by an 8-run outburst in the 6th inning, the number 10 Wall High School baseball team rallied to beat number 5 Jim Ned 10-3 to secure the District 6-3A championship Monday night at Angelo State University's Foster Field at First Community Credit Union Field. Wall finished the regular season at 22-6 overall and 14-1 in district. The Hawks will face Stanton in a bi-district playoff later this week. Details have not been confirmed. Jim Ned dropped to 22-3 and 13-2. 2 of the 3 losses have been against Wall. The Indians will take on Sonora in bi-district at a time and site to be determined. The Indians played small ball and took a 3-1 lead in the 2nd inning. Wall pulled within 4-3 in the 4th inning before taking advantage of a slew of errors by the Indians and a hit batsman with the bases loaded at the 6th. "Our kids competed well, and tip your hat to Jim Ned starter Blaine Palmer," Wall head coach Jason Shiner said. "Every time we've faced him, he's a strikeout pitcher, and he commands the zone and competes really well. Fortunately for us, he got a pitch count where they felt like they needed him for the end of the week. And when that happened, our guys took advantage of it. I'm super proud of our guys for that 8th inning right there and competing with 2 outs. The kids dug deep, and they've been doing that for the last month and a half. We've been finding ways to win close ball games and even games when they're not so close. They're doing everything we need to do to win games." Kelton Bowman went 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs and 1 run scored for the Hawks. Gunnar Dillard, Hudson Tiplick, Ogden Hallmark, drove in one run each for the wall. Wall starter Nathan Pepper got the win. He gave up three hits and three runs, two of which were earned, in six complete. He struck out four and walked two. Closer Matt Steen came on in the seventh to close things out. Cooper Mascoro had a team-high two RBIs for Jim Ned. Cade Frazier drove in the Indians' other run. Palmer went 5.1 innings and chalked up 13 strikeouts against two walks. He gave up just two hits and three runs, two earned. Indians middle reliever Troy Doran gave up two hits and six runs, including four earned, in just one-third of an inning. Jim Ned closer Luke Vinson also pitched a third of an inning and gave up one unearned run. It was an uncharacteristic performance by the Indians, who committed five costly errors and two passed balls. "They just whipped our butt," Jim Ned head coach Ryan Lewis said. "We beat ourselves and tip your hat to them because they stayed at it. We just didn't play well enough, and you can't do that against a good team." The Hawks finished with five hits and held the Indians to three. Wall committed just one error. There was a famous face in the crowd, country music singer Aaron Watson. Ozona storms past Winters to claim softball bi-district playoff series, by Amy McDaniel, published May 3rd. Last Thursday, the Ozona High School softball team was looking back at three consecutive playoff losses. The Lady Lions, however, were determined to put a stop to that streak and rallied to force a third game of a Class 2A bi-district series against Winters. On Monday, at San Angelo Lakeview Maidens Field, Ozona put the finishing touches on the series win, beating the Lady Blizzards 8-1. A lot of the girls on the field played as freshmen in a playoff series last year, said Ozona head coach Brenty Duarte, who was the assistant coach last year when the Lady Lions squeaked into the playoffs with a fourth place district finish and were swept by Coleman. "They were determined to get past this round. To go in and lose two in a row and be knocked out, it hurt them. But we've got some good winning culture going on right now, and we talk about how success builds success." After allowing a total of 22 runs in the first two games, Ozona's defense stiffened behind sophomore pitcher Valeria Garza and allowed just one run to the Lady Blizzards. Garza allowed four hits, but the Lady Lion defense dispatched all but one Winters base runner as Ozona simply dominated the final game of what had been a closer series. Winters opened with a 12-5 win, but Ozona dug deep and won its first playoff game in four tries, 14-10, to force the decisive third game. "We could have easily thought we aren't good enough to come back, that it was a replay of last year. But they decided on the bus home that they weren't going to let that happen. The Lady Lions have matured," the coach said, "and are building on the athletic program's recent successes, a district championship in basketball and district and region championships in track and field." "It's just the culture we've got going on here," Duarte said. "They're working hard for it." Ozona advances to face Albany in an area round series at a site and time to be determined. It took a while for the Ozona offense to get going in the decisive game. In the meantime, the Lady Lions executed on defense, getting out of a bases-loaded jam in the second inning with an inning-ending double play. Ozona catcher Charlie Oglesby missed on a dive attempt at a pop-up in front of the home plate, but Garza picked up the ball, stepped on home plate, and fired to first to get the runner and end the inning. The Lady Lions ended up with more than one unconventional double play against the Lady Blizzards. "We always say, go work on defense and have fun on offense," Duarte said. And they bought into that this year. They didn't let bases loaded overwhelm them. They stayed under control. They knew where they were going with the play and just executed. The game was scoreless until the third inning, when Kristen Webb got things going for Ozona with an RBI double. Oglesby hit a two-run double to push the Lady Lions lead to 3-2. Esperanza Castillo drove in another run in the third to make it 4-0. Ozona pushed its lead to 6-0 in the top half of the fourth before Wetters finally played it a run. But that was all the Lady Lions allowed as they increased their lead to 7-1 after five innings and 8-1 in the sixth. Offensively, the Lady Lions pounded out 14 hits and used aggressive base running to get into scoring position. They also took advantage of miscues with the Winters battery. The Ozona coach said even though her young team had playoff experience, it wasn't the kind you wanted. Nerves kind of got to all of us in that first game, Duarte said. Tonight, they were just on. They were focused. Lakeview's Taylor and Central's Mayberry earned bronze medals at regional track meets by Amy McDaniel, published May 2nd. San Angelo Lakeview's Derek Taylor came within 1/100th of a second of qualifying for the UIL State Track and Field Championships. The junior finished third in the boys' 200-meter run at the region's 1-4A Track and Field Championships on Saturday at Lubbock's Lowry Field with a time of 22.17 seconds. The top two finishers in each event at the regional level automatically qualify for state for a total of 8 entries. But there is a 9th at-large berth to the state meet that is awarded to the best mark among the third place finishers in the four regions. Taylor's time was 0.01 slower than that of the wild card winner, who finished in a time of 22.16. Taylor also ran on Lakeview's fourth place 4x200 relay, 1:29.61, and fifth place 4x400 relay, 3:26.71. He was joined by Brandon Durio, Devin Paz, and Brandon Cruz on the two relays. Taylor was also seventh in the boys' high jump, 5:10. At the Region 1-6A meet at Maverick Stadium in Arlington, San Angelo Central senior Peyton Mayberry also came close to a state meet berth, finishing third in the girls' triple jump. Mayberry jumped 37.634 to claim the bronze medal, but was unable to earn the wild card. Jacob English won a jump-off to finish in fifth place in the boys' high jump for Central. He cleared 6-4. Raven Ortiz was seventh in the boys' long jump, 22-6. The team of Ortiz, Jordan Witherspoon, Cole McWilliams, and Tyler Hill were sixth in the 4x200 relay, 1:27.89. Top-seeded Angelo State will host first round of LSC baseball tourney by Charles Bryce, published May 2nd. The number 10-ranked Angelo State University baseball team finished the regular season with a sweep on the road against UT Permian Basin over the weekend, and the Rams will be the number one seed in the Lone Star Conference tournament. The Rams will host the opening round of the conference tourney on Friday, May 6th at Foster Field at First Community Credit Union Stadium. ASU will take on St. Mary's in a best 2-of-3 game series beginning at 6:30 p.m. Friday. Game 2 is scheduled for 2 p.m. Saturday, followed by a third game, if necessary, at 1 p.m. Sunday. The LSC Championship Finals will be May 12th through the 14th, followed by the South Central Regionals on May 10th through the 21st. If the Rams keep winning, they'll likely host the LSC Championship Finals and the Regional Tourney. The NCAA Division II College World Series will be June 4th through the 11th in Cary, North Carolina. The Rams are hoping to make a return trip to the CWS as they chase an elusive national championship under longtime head coach Kevin Brooks. In Sunday's regular season finale, UTPB took a 3-0 lead in the first inning, and it was 4-2 in the Falcons' favor before the Rams erupted in a 5-run outburst in the sixth to take a 7-4 advantage. UTPB pushed two more runs across in the bottom of the ninth for the final 7-6 margin. Ram first baseman Aaron Walters went 2-for-5 with two RBIs and one run scored. Second baseman Austin Beck, right fielder Kobe Kelton, and left fielder Justin Lee drove in one each. ASU starter Price Simmering went 3 full innings, giving up 4 hits and 4 runs, 3 earned. Middle reliever Carson Childers, 6-1, got the win after working the next 5 innings. He gave up 1 hit and no runs while recording 6 strikeouts against 2 walks. Closer Jackson Haga pitched the ninth, giving up 3 hits and 2 earned runs. In 27 games all time against UTPB, the Rams have never lost. Angelo State welcomes new men's basketball coach Patel, by Charles Bryce, published May 2nd. Vinay Patel was officially introduced as Angelo State University's new head men's basketball coach during a press conference Monday morning in the VIP room at the Janelle Center. What an exciting day it is for us today on our campus, especially in our athletic department, as we are announcing the new men's basketball coach here at Angelo State University, ASU Athletic Director James Reed said. Anytime we have coaches' openings, we get inundated with interest, and I told President Ronnie Hawkins this would not be any different. I think when you have a great program, people want to be associated with that. And when you have a great university to go with that program, people definitely want to jump on board. Patel is a 17-year coaching veteran who most recently served as the head coach at Northwestern Oklahoma State University. He led the Rangers to a 20-9 overall record and one of the biggest turnarounds in NCAA Division II this past season. Before coming to NWOSU, Patel spent 4 years at Oklahoma City University, where his teams combined to go 82-42. He guided the Stars to a Sooner Athletic Conference Tournament Championship in the 2018-19 and share of the regular season title in 2017-18. His teams made the NAIA Tournament's Sweet 16 2 years in a row and advanced to the tourney all 4 years. In 2018, OCU finished 24-9 and was the number 8 ranked team in NAIA. Patel was selected as the coach of the year by the Sooner Athletic Conference and Oklahoma Sportsnet that season. He'll be taking over for Cinco Boone, who resigned after a 6-year stint as head coach for the Rams, to become an assistant coach at the University of Texas Arlington. Patel, a Shamrock, Texas native, earned his Master's of Science degree in Sports and Exercise Science from West Texas A&M in 2007. He also has a Bachelor of Science degree in Exercise and Sport Science from Texas Tech. Reed said once he found out Boone was leaving, he was flooded with applicants. "As we began the process, it was a very arduous one," Reed said. "There were a lot of great candidates, and ones that definitely would fit the bill, and ones that understood our core values and our commitment, not only to athletics, but to the academic side of the athletic program and the commitment to this community. As we went through this process, obviously, you get down to that one candidate that rises above all the rest. As Coach Patel and I had many conversations, it was very evident that he understood what Angelo State University was about, and he understood what Angelo State University athletics was about, and most importantly, what men's basketball was about." When Patel took the podium, he quickly warmed over the crowd with his engaging personality. "I'm really excited to be here today," Patel said. "It's a dream come true for me. I want to thank some people. President Ronnie Hawkins. It was great meeting him when I came down. And Coach Reed, just getting to know him throughout the process. More and more, I kind of felt at home talking to Reed, And that was probably the part of the experience I enjoyed the most coming down here and getting to see it a little bit better. Patel is no stranger to San Angelo. His sister is an ASU alum, and he's been coming here since he was 16 years old. His mother-in-law is also an ASU grad. "I can't tell you how many Christmases we've spent here," said Patel, whose parents recently retired and moved to San Angelo. "That's what I was telling Coach Reed when he was telling me a little bit about it. I said, well, I've been coming here for over 20 years now, and I know quite a bit about it, not just from my time with West Texas A&M. We've got a strong family ties to this place, and so when it opened, there was no question I was excited. My family, not my wife, but my parents and my sister, they don't always understand how this works. And so they were like, well, why don't you just go get the Angelo State job? And I said, it's not that easy. It was a long process, but I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Patel also met with former ASU head coach Fred Reich to pick his brain about the job. You know, everyone asks, why Angelo State? That's always the question when you take a new job, Patel said. Family is something that was really important to me. Coach Reed talked about the history of success. Angelo State's won for a long time. It's going to win, I hope, while I'm here, and it's going to win long after I'm gone. The history of success is something I wanted to be a part of. It's something that I talked to these players about today. Cinco Boone has laid a great foundation. They've had a lot of successful teams here, and I'm proud to be able to build on that. The Rams' new coach talked about the chance to compete for championships. Everybody wins here, Patel said. Baseball just won the conference title the other day. I texted Coach Kevin Brooks, congrats on that, and he's not even talking to me about baseball. He's just texting me, congrats for taking the job, and I'm trying to tell him congrats about his team. I think it's a place you can compete at the national level. I think you can win Lone Star Conference titles here. I think you can really compete for something special. I think there's a passionate fan base here, and I've seen it in person. I've got to coach games on the sidelines here. I've heard people yell things at us, and the things that they yell, I've heard you yell things at the refs as well, so I know we've got a passionate fan base. Patel told Reed that he wanted to meet with the ASU players prior to Monday's press conference to assure them that he's here for them, first of all, and that he wants the recruiting process to begin with re-recruiting them. I'm not looking for people for them to fit in with, Patel said. We've already got a great foundation here, and we've got a great group of players. They're a talented group, and I'm excited to coach them. I want to have a great culture here, and that's something we talked about, of being a better team and better in this together. And I told them I don't want to fight them. I want to be in the fight with them, and that's important to me. Patel says ASU will recruit heavily in the Lone Star State, looking to fill out the roster with players from high schools, junior colleges, and four-year transfers. We're going to work our tails off recruiting Texas first, and then we're going to go coast to coast from there, Patel said. ASU's new coach gave a preview of what the Rams will look like under him. We're going to be the toughest, most aggressive team on the floor, Patel said. We're going to really pride ourselves on defense, and I told our guys that in the locker room today, and I'm not sure how happy they were when I said that. We want to play fast, and I don't think we can play fast if the other team's scoring on us. So we've got to be really good on the defensive end, and it's going to start there. We need blue-collar guys. This is West Texas, and I want blue-collar people. I want people who are going to dive on the floor, and I want people who are going to take charges. I want people that when you guys watch them play, that you're proud of how hard they compete for this university. San Angelo Central pitcher Widener will continue career at Midland College by Charles Bryce, published May 1st. San Angelo Central High School senior pitcher Hunter Widener is making the most of his only season with the Bobcats before heading back to his old stomping grounds to play for Midland College. Widener transferred to Central from Midland Lee, which has since changed its name to Legacy, after his junior year, and he says it's been amazing ever since. The lanky 6'3", 150-pounder made his college plans official when he signed an agreement with the Chaparrals at the Sports Next Level facility Saturday night. Midland College is one of the top junior college programs in the area. "Really, I'm just excited to get the opportunity to go pitch there," Widener said. "It's going to be nice to go back there and pitch for them and hopefully go to the World Series." Central wrapped up the regular season with a 5-1 loss on the road against Odessa High on Friday. The Bobcats finished with an overall record of 11-18 and a 9-9 mark in District 2-6A to finish fourth. The Cats will face El Paso Americas in a best-of-three games by district series this week. Widener has played an instrumental role in helping Central make the playoffs again. "We got him on loan for a year, so to speak, and he's been a joy," Central head coach Patrick Penry said. "He's been hitting in the top of our lineup, too, in addition to what he brings to the mound. He brings a lot of energy. He's always smiling and just a great teammate and a competitor." Perry says it'll be the perfect situation for Widener, returning to Midland, where he'll be around family and his support system. "He's always had one of the biggest cheerleading sections," the Bobcats coach said. Penry said the Bobcats weren't counting on Widener to contribute as a hitter as well, but that's been the big surprise with him. "He stayed in the batting cages, and he ironed out a few things with his swing, and he's leading hitter now," the Central coach said, noting that Widener's hitting around the 400 mark. "I know he's recruited to pitch for the Chaparrals, but the way he flies around in the outfield and the way he's hitting, it's one of those things where, Midland, you may have gotten a hitter, too." The Bobcats coach talked about what Widener brings to the table as a pitcher. "He commands the zone and works fast and keeps the defense on its toes," Penry said. "What we teach is pitch to contact and to make it weak contact, and Hunter does just that. And when you throw 90-plus, which he does, it offers another element to his game. He's an extremely competitive young man, and he's going to do great. We have a whole team of those guys that are going to the next level that, when it all clicks, they're a tough team to beat." And now, Widener will try to help the Bobcats pull off a big upset against Americas in the first round of the playoffs. "We've just got to go out there and be determined to win and not get behind. But if we do, keep working hard and keep trying to come back," the senior pitcher said. "One of my old coaches, Legacy head coach Brian Roper, always told me, when you put your leg on a rattlesnake, don't let his head come up or you'll get bit. Just keep your head on the rattlesnake and keep going." And now here is our weekly column from Allison Watkins. Plant selection and location can make all the difference in West Texas. West Texas is a challenging environment to grow vegetables and landscape plants. Plants must be able to handle a lot of heat, but also cold spells, as well as drought, alkaline clay soil, etc. To be successful, start with good plant selection. Choose the best plants that can thrive in local locations. Then give them the best possible chance to flourish by planting them in the right location within the landscape, sun versus shade, preparing the soil, utilizing drip irrigation, and applying mulch. These basic steps will make a big difference in plant health and conserving water resources. Knowing what plants to choose can be difficult. The label on the plant at the nursery usually doesn't give enough specific info. For example, a plant may be labeled as needing full sun, but that doesn't always mean West Texas full sun. Harsh, all-day, direct exposure. Many full sun plants can appreciate a bit of afternoon shade. There are resources available to help choose tough but beautiful plants for West Texas. The Concho Valley Master Gardeners have demonstration gardens open to show some of the recommended plants for the area. The main demo garden is located at the Tom Green 4-H Center, 3168 North US 67. It also highlights rainwater harvesting and a rain garden. The Earthkind Perennial Trial, located at the south end of Kirby Park, is a partnership with the City of San Angelo to test different perennials with very limited inputs to see which ones thrive with little water and no pesticides. The Terrace Garden, located along the Riverwalk near the McNeese Convention Center, is currently in the process of being renovated and will show additional plants for visitors and how they perform. The Texas Superstar Program by Texas A&M University is also a great resource. It's a method of testing plants all over Texas, and the ones that do well are recommended by the university and earn the title of being a Texas superstar. Every year, more plants are announced. So far this year, Tangerine Beauty Crossvine and Valley Cat Tomato have been declared as new Texas superstars. Last year, Ornamental Sweet Potato, Glorizoria Rosemary, and Rock Rose were announced. To see more plants, visit https://texassuperstar.com. Tangerine Beauty Crossvine is a showy evergreen vine that has profuse blooms in the spring and scattered repeat blooms throughout the rest of the summer and fall. Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service horticulturalist Greg Grant said, "Tangerine Beauty is the showiest and most widely available among crossvine cultivars," Grant said. "You can't avoid paying attention to it, and the bigger it gets, the more spectacular it can be." Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.